Going to be reading from Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 16, just before Pastor Tom comes. Do not envy wicked men, do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, "But we knew nothing about this," does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, church family. I'm a little under the weather. I got a cold on Friday, and I wasn't sure if I'd make it here this Sunday, but through a lot of prayer, God allowed me to be here. But if you see me, it's just tea, not coffee, I promise. And this sermon is not brought to you by Starbucks. Just happened to be the closest spot to my house where I could get a good tea. We're concluding our series on wisdom this Sunday, and I thought it was such a beautiful passage. Wisdom is sweet to your soul. But let's talk about wisdom really quickly. For those of you who have been in and out, I know sometimes we're busy on Sunday. Proverbs are God's wisdom. Last week I compared it to God's wisdom at 140 characters or less. This week I thought about the education system. And when I was in elementary school, they had these motivational posters all over the classroom. And I was kind of like, they would give us these wise moments where it's like, anything is possible. You always miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And there was this worldly wisdom that was in the classroom, short and memorable. And that's what Proverbs is. It's short, powerful lines about how God's wisdom is practical and God's wisdom is spiritual. If you're taking notes, you're going to hear me say this a lot, so write it down. Wisdom sweetens the soul and strengthens the life. Wisdom sweetens the soul and strengthens the life. In Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 to 6, a house is described. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled. I think this is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. Because wisdom is not knowledge, and there's a clear differentiation between the two. You see, wisdom builds the house and knowledge fills it, but understanding is crucial for establishing it. You see, you can know something really, really well, but not be able to explain it so other people can understand it. If you have a child, you probably know what this is like. We all know that 7 plus 7 is 14, but explaining it to a 7-year-old that 7 plus 7 is 14 and teaching them how to do addition is challenging, even though we can do it in our own lives. I think this passage calls us to the idea of lifelong learning. The fact that as we go through life, we continue to grow and we continue to develop in God's word. If anyone's ever volunteered in Sunday school, you know we have a ton of really great stories that go through in Sunday school. We always hear about Noah's Ark. We hear about Jonah and the whale. We hear about Father Abraham and his many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. We hear about the Psalms. And you see, as you go through life, sometimes you think, well, I might have enough wisdom. I might have enough knowledge. And at that point, we can start to lose focus of our relationship with the Lord. This idea that we continually grow in his righteousness. We continually grow in his wisdom. You see, wisdom builds the home. Knowledge fills the home. Understanding establishes the home. I can't think of a better example of this than the discipleship model that we're all supposed to practice. The idea that when you accept Jesus, you are called by the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Discipleship means that we care for one another and we teach each other about God. We see this in a mentorship format in the New Testament repeatedly. We see Paul mentoring Timothy. Not that Timothy did not have great knowledge, but Timothy was very timid. And Timothy was very young, and Paul provided expertise and guidance. We see Paul mentoring Titus. We see this continued idea that mentorship is part of discipleship, and it's powerful. I will never use the term old from the pulpit because my mom taught me it was offensive. So I use the term senior saints. Do you guys like that one? Is it a good one? So if you are a senior saint, and you can be a senior saint in your faith and not in your age, because there's no telling when an individual came to know Christ. But if you are a senior saint, meaning you have a clear understanding of biblical knowledge, then it is your duty to guide those who are not as rooted in the faith and walk with them. By the same token, if you are a senior saint, it is your job to continue to grow and to learn about the ways of the Lord. You see, your Bible is always changing in the way you perceive it. What I mean by that is, a sermon that I would preach on in this passage 5 years ago is not the same way that I would perceive it today. Because God has changed things in my life that have made my perspective different. I think about the wisdom that comes with life. See, a life built on God's wisdom is strong. And in order for us to keep building on God's wisdom, we have to keep refining and keep learning. For example, I want to challenge you to find a book that you might be haven't read in a while. I love being around Christians. I love Bible study. I love preaching somehow now. But I can tell you there's some books where I'm like, I don't really want to preach on that. I don't even want to read it in my own time. Have you ever seen someone give an excited sermon about Leviticus chapter 4? Probably not. See, as we grow in our faith, I think we can take on those more challenging books. I think about the book of Revelation as one of the most challenging ones, where even the most seasoned Christians are intimidated to open their Bible and explore Revelation because it's scary. It feels challenging. But if you are at a point in your life where you can recite the Sermon on the Mount and you know all of Jesus' teachings, at least you think you do, then it might be time to continue to explore in depth. See, you can build your home on love, honor, and wisdom if you are constantly in the Word of the Lord. However, we live in a world where there are other things competing for your attention. You can build your home on other things. You can build your home on things that will not last. There will always be a temptation to find wisdom in something else. I have to tell you about a time where I thought I had wisdom, and it did not work out. Pickleball. Now, if you ever played pickleball, you'll see the person in the picture is definitely a senior saint. And when I went to the CBOQ conference with Noah, they didn't have any basketball. They didn't have any sports, but they had pickleball. And we are like, all right, like, let's do this pickleball tournament. And it's us and a bunch of people who are definitely in their 60s and 70s. And we're like, you know, let's not beat them too badly. Let's just be chill. Let's be nonchalant about it. Because we're going out there, we're relying on our athleticism. I played sports in university. Noah's still playing basketball there. Like, we should be able to beat people who qualify for a senior's discount at a sport. I have never been humbled so quickly. I was destroyed by these two older gentlemen who were like, oh, I've been pastoring for 35 years. I'm like, that's longer than I've been alive. And they had like these crazy ball techniques I didn't know. Like they were spinning it. They were putting curves on the ball. As someone who never played pickleball, the scoring kind of works like tennis. And it keeps going up and up and up. Well, their score kept going up and up and up. I didn't score a point until we played three games. And I thought it was just the Lord's mercy. You see, I went in assuming that I understood all sports because I excelled at a couple. Sometimes we make assumptions when it comes to our Bible that we understand the Gospels, we understand the Epistles, we understand the easy books, the ones that are popular. We assume we know the will of God. We also assume if we read the book one time 10 years ago, that it will read the same, even though God has put us on a whole new journey at that time. I promise next year I'm coming back for the pickleball tournament crown. I've been practicing. You see, wisdom is also strength. It describes foolishness as weakness. I learned that the hard way. Because I promise by physical attribute, I was stronger than those pickleball players. But their wisdom made them superior to me. And my foolishness of, oh, no, let's not beat these guys too bad, made us pretty weak. My advice to you, church family, is to keep your life strong through the wisdom of God. Continue on an effortless pursuit of knowledge. Read it, study it, and do it again. Because I promise, reading it one time is not enough. Reading it two times is not enough. Reading it and not practicing it is not enough. Now, I want to talk about wise counsel. Because I view wise counsel as essential. And it's important to have a lot of advisors in your life. Now, this goes against a worldly sense. There is a worldly sense sometimes that we have to do things on our own. That there's a joy and a pride that comes from this toxicity of like, you know what? I did it myself. I did it. I can do it. I don't need anyone else. To those people, I would say you don't need Jesus. Because I need Jesus. And not only do I need Jesus, I need amazing people to walk with me. I need people like Pastor Allen that when I don't know how to interpret a text, when I'm struggling with it, that I can go to him and he can walk with me and be with me. You see, many advisors is the key too. I don't just have Pastor Allen. Pastor Dave is a dear friend of mine, and we connect regularly. And I have to say that it's important to have different advisors with different perspectives and worldviews that are separate from your own. Because the reason we need these advisors is to challenge us when we're wrong and to give us a light on a new perspective. It's amazing, church family, that if you want to be a church of all nations, how can you not have advisors of diversity? It's easy to agree with people that are just like you. But it's powerful to have people from all walks of life that want to speak into yours. And it's your job to let those people in. One of my biggest heroes for that is actually right here, this man. This is Brother Roy Spence. Brother Roy, put your hand up. Wave to everybody. Now, every Thursday, I go to prayer group. And Brother Roy will come to me and he'll say, Pastor Tom, I have a question on this text. Pastor Tom, I have a question on what the Bible means when it says this. And the reason I use Brother Roy as an example, and the reason it honors me that you come to me, is that you are a man who is significantly with more life experience than I am, yet you're still willing to collaborate with me and hear my perspectives. And the fact that we can walk together because we know that knowledge with the combination of experience will equal wisdom. So I guess what I'm saying, church family, is talk to each other. If you're taking notes, just write it down. Talk to each other. It's okay to ask questions. I don't want to give the cliche advice of join a small group and read your Bible, although please do join a small group and please read your Bible. But I'm saying invest in genuine relationships. Get to the point where you feel comfortable telling people who you really are. I think Brother Roy and I share that relationship. Because I can tell you, he doesn't always agree with me. Or he'll tell me, Pastor Tom, in my 40 years of life, I've never heard that perspective. And you know what? I appreciate him so much. And I think that's a great model to all of us. Because sometimes as we get more advanced in our years, we feel like we should have it all figured out. But I think God's wisdom is for everyone. And we are reminded that wise counsel is essential. In fact, I want to say, I'm going to take it a step further. Walking alone and thinking you have to do it all by yourself is weakness. We read last week that God brings victory. But that is through God's guidance that he brings that victory into your heart. God will bring you the victory, but God will work through people in your everyday life. And he'll do it through all walks of life. It's not just the wise Pastor Allen that I hear God's voice in. I hear it from Noah. I've heard it from Frankie. I've heard it. Even Elsie's given me some really good advice. You see, God's wisdom comes from all over. Because when we, as a community of believers, have Jesus in our heart, we are encouraged to share that with one another. And you never know who God is going to use to guide you. Isn't that amazing that God can use anyone? Now, the question is, are you going to be open to listening to that wisdom when it comes? Or is pride going to get in the way? I hope it doesn't, church family. I'm telling you, don't walk alone. Let's do it together. Because wisdom sweetens the soul and strengthens the life. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 to 14. Honey was the sweetest thing that they had. I've relied on honey immensely the last 2 days. I've been having teaspoons of it. In fact, someone made me a tea with just honey, water, and turmeric. I still love that person. But honey was the sweetest thing they had. And they're saying that wisdom is as sweet as honey. Wisdom is nourishing, and wisdom is good for you. Now, in 2025, it's not the sweetest thing we have anymore. The sweetest thing I've ever had is these strawberry candies. Now, if you know these candies, I always got them from Miss Inez at Bethany Baptist Church. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know where you buy them. I've looked on Walmart, I've looked on Amazon. I'm convinced there's like a secret store, Bulk Barn. And that's the wisdom I needed. But I had no clue where Miss Inez got these. But I knew if I came on Sunday, Miss Inez would have the candy. In fact, I know that Sister Gwendolyn gives candy out here at this church, because when I'm teaching youth group, they always have gummy worms, gummy bears. I'm like, where'd you get those? And they're like, well, Sister Gwendolyn gave them out. Sister Gwendolyn, I've never gotten any gummy bears. You see, life proves wisdom and provides it. I believe Miss Inez knew that kids were not that interested in the sermon, but that kids were interested in candy. And that when she gave me the candy, sometimes I think she gave it to me just so I'd be quiet during the sermon, but when I had the candy, that some of God's wisdom would seep through. Make sense? She's very wise. See, life in Jesus Christ proves that wisdom is worth it. And in fact, nothing else will compare to God's wisdom. They use the example of honey. You can put anything you want in there. Miss Inez's candies do not compare to God's wisdom. That sports car you've been dreaming of your whole life will not compare to God's wisdom. That house that you saw in House Hunters will not compare to God's wisdom. That double brownie cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory, a personal favorite, does not compare to God's wisdom. Because those things will temporarily fill you, temporarily make you feel satisfied. But God's wisdom will sustain you on the path of righteousness for the rest of your life into heaven. So what compares with that? Not a thing. I shouldn't be yelling too much this morning. See, the thing is, it's hard to find wisdom. It's not easy. I use the example of mentorship. I use the example of lifelong learning, but it's a challenge to find people that care about you, that want to walk with you. So I'm asking you, if you are in the position of a senior saint, make the burden easier on those who need someone to walk with. Make yourself accessible. Make yourself available. Get involved. Church family, we could run so many more small groups and so many classes. We could run so many more programs if each of us took the ownership of we are supposed to care for God's people. And I promise you, it is worth it. Because wisdom gives us hope. Wisdom gives a future. Can we talk about a future? Churches are going down in numbers across the board in North America. Small churches are failing. There are churches closing and becoming condos regularly. But here, through prayer, through guidance, Weston Park Baptist Church, I think we've done around 15 baptisms this year, including the ones yet to come. Isn't that amazing? Now, do we have a really special, amazing facility? No, we don't. But what do we have? We have faith. We have wisdom. And that wisdom gives us confidence that we will walk the path of righteousness and that God will deliver us. And that he put each of us here for a reason. and that together we will make an impact in this community. And it won't be through a big fancy building, at least not yet, but it will be through wisdom, love, and compassion. Are you with me, church family? See, I don't take confidence in worldly things. I take confidence because I have seen God do amazing things that shouldn't be possible, that are not possible. But he gives me the confidence that they are possible because of who he is. Because I know who Jesus is, I know that he is with us and that he can use us. See, wisdom, that knowledge that comes from this book, is the anchor to my life. It's what I build my life upon. Because every time something has not been possible and it happens, I say, glory to God, because this does not make sense in any earthly way. But Jesus defies all expectation. Never put a limit on what God is going to do. Because wisdom sweetens the soul and strengthens the life. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. The righteous fall 7 times and they rise 8. The wicked stumble and stay down. A couple years ago, I taught at the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptists National Conference. And my job was to share a series that we had developed in youth group called the Umbrella Series. The Umbrella Series was based on mental health. Coming out of COVID, it impacted many people, especially our teenagers and our children. The idea of why it was called the Umbrella Series was that it rains on everyone, and that Jesus is your umbrella. See, falling is not defeat. We live in a broken world, right? Bad stuff happens in this world. And unfortunately, bad stuff happens to us. But you know what? God gives me hope that when something bad happens, we are going to be able to rise together. Let's be honest. 7 times is a lot to fall. And we all have different journeys to walk. But I want you to think about your own testimony for a second. Think about the life you were living before you knew Jesus. Think about the life you're living now with Jesus and how different it is. Because no matter what happens, no matter the diagnosis, no matter the pain, no matter the emotional turmoil, there is hope that at the end of this life, we will be in a place where there is no pain. We will be in a place where there is no heartbreak. And that is through the grace of Jesus Christ. That wisdom helps me rise again. I'll be honest, church family, I did not know if I was going to make it here this Sunday. Friday morning, I called my mom and I could barely talk. I called Sister Darlene and I said, Darlene, I need you to pray for me that I'll be able to make it here. And I have never recovered from a cold in 36 hours. But I praise Jesus for being with me. Recently, this past year, my dad's health has started to decline. He's going to be placed on dialysis for his kidneys. And he's going to be on dialysis for the rest of his life. And my dad has not been a perfect man. But he knows Jesus really well. And even though he was upset at the diagnosis, and my mom was crying, he hugged her and said, it's going to be okay. Which I was kind of like, you're the one that we should be caring for. And he said, God has put me here for as ever long as he needs me. And one day, when I get called home, I will know I did everything I could. See, that wisdom only comes through the faith and knowledge that Jesus is Lord and that he is with us and he will guide us. And that's what helps us get going when life is hard. See, I actually think it makes us resilient. When you go through something, it refines who you are. And it steadies you, it calms you down. If you've gone through something traumatic, when you look back at that moment, it gives you the ability. I've talked about mentorship throughout this entire sermon. One of the reasons that we can care for people who are so broken is because we have gone through things that have made us supposed to be that broken person. And the thing that stopped us from being so broken was Jesus Christ. And it didn't just come through doves. It came through the love of a church family. It came through support. It came through wisdom. So use the wisdom you have. Use the trials that you have. Use your testimony to bring more people to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, he started working in your heart. And when he is done, you will be called home. But he is going to keep working within you. See, he began it. He knew who you were from the moment you were born. And he will bring it to completion. And you will rise again when you lose your time on this earth. And when we face those worldly trials, remember, death has lost its sting through Christ. So let your life be a testimony of the work that Jesus is doing. See, the righteous rise, the wicked stay down. Wisdom lifts us up, and foolishness collapses. Do not rely on your own understanding. Do not rely on your podcast. Do not rely on worldly advice. Rely on the fact that Jesus is Lord and he is with you. And you will rise. And when you are on that path of righteousness and you feel lost and you feel yourself going astray, it's okay. Because he will bring you back. He will pick you up. And he will walk with you. So wisdom builds your life. Wisdom sweetens your soul. Like honey, like cheesecake, like strawberry candies. And wisdom helps you rise again. Wisdom is the foundation of faith. Wisdom sweetens the soul and strengthens the life. So what are you going to build with God's wisdom this week? What are you going to do? Are you going to go out and share God's wisdom with God's people? And don't just think God's people are in these walls. God's people are all 8 billion people on this earth. Share God's wisdom with his people. If you feel like you've hit a plateau where you're struggling or you have questions, reach out to someone who might be able to give you an answer. Don't be scared of not knowing. Church family, the wisdom in this book, I can't believe we have access to it. It is like 66 love letters written from the Messiah. So invest your time in learning it, in reading it, and growing in it. I want to leave you with this. Seek wisdom, live by wisdom, and walk in wisdom. Let's live our life that way, by seeking wisdom every day, living by the wisdom that God has proclaimed in Scripture, and walking as if we have Jesus Christ within us, because we do. Jesus is within each and every one of you. Amen. Let's go. Let me pray for us, church family. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the many gifts that you give us. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you provide us. I thank you for the mentors. I thank you for the guidance. I thank you for all that you do, Lord. I thank you for the foundation that you've laid in our hearts. I thank you for the amazing people here at Weston Park Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that they can open their hearts. I pray they can find people to walk with them. Lord, I pray that this place can be welcoming and loving. Lord Jesus, we just lift up our hearts to you. Lord, transform us, build us in your image, and make us wise. In your name we pray. Amen.